compassionate and kind and loving towards those in our family and those in our neighborhood and those in this country. Lord, just pray that the wars in this world would end soon, that you would save those who are suffering. God, as we look forward to Thanksgiving this Thursday, help us to be thankful for where we are and what you have given us, and not to be selfish or anxious about what we have or what we can do, but knowing that you are with us and that you will lead us in the pathways of righteousness for your name's sake. For these things we ask in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Richard. Well, with Thanksgiving upcoming here in our country, I know a lot of countries celebrate holidays like this, but with Thanksgiving upcoming in our country, all across our country, there are going to be people gathering together to eat a meal, spend some time together with one another, maybe family that they haven't seen in a while. And I imagine many of them will take some time to express their gratitude for things in their lives. But sadly, most people in our country, most people in the world, when they give thanks like that, will not express it to the true and living God. They will express a general thankfulness, or maybe a thankfulness to some fictitious God, or a thankfulness to the universe, or thankfulness to one another, or no thankfulness at all. In fact, there's a TV show that I like to watch called Alone, in which people are left out in the remote wilderness to survive off of the land as long as they can, all alone. Anybody else watch that? All right, we got some comrades here. But anyway, last man standing wins, okay? In fact, this show might be the only real reality show on television. And for those of you that watched it, you know what I'm talking about, okay? It is a very real situation these people are in. But the show, because of the nature of the show, often attracts, well, naturalists as contestants. And often, as they will kill an animal for food, they will thank the animal. Thank you for giving me your life so that I could survive. And I keep waiting for it. It's never happened, but I keep waiting for the animal to say, "Oh, you're welcome," right? And it just isn't happening. People give thanks to odd things in our world. Here are some lines from humanistic and naturalistic Thanksgiving prayers. Yes, they have prayers. Here's some lines. This food is the product of the whole universe, from the plants and the animals to the labor of countless hands. May we be worthy to receive it, and may the energy from this meal give us the strength to live well. We give thanks to the ranchers and farmers, their workers and their hands whose skill, sweat, and toil have brought forth this bounty from the earth. I offer my deepest appreciation and my most profound apologies to the plants and animals whose lives were forfeit for our good health this day. That may be the kind of prayer that many in the world will give this Thanksgiving Day, if they pray at all. And what I want to take time to do here this morning is, while the world does give thanks, and while the world absolutely have things to be thankful for, you and I more so, okay? Some, like you and I, in our country this upcoming week, will take some time to express thankfulness to the true and living God. And you and I, as children of His, have things that we are often and commonly thankful for, because we know the true and living God. We are rightfully thankful for those things. And I just want to take a minute just to ask you, what are some things that you, as a child of God, are thankful for?
Salvation.
Salvation, absolutely. Eternal life.
Forgiveness.
Melody?
God's love.
We sang a song about 10,000 reasons. We got a long ways to go here. Richard?
Grace.
God's help in this life.
God's what?
Help in this life.
Help in this life. Any other things come to mind? Mitch?
The indwelling presence.
God Himself living inside of us. Don.
He will never leave us.
Never leave us nor forsake us.
He never changes.
He never changes. Very good. Yes, Valerie.
God's Word.
God's Word. Okay. All great answers. Great answers. In fact, a couple of them touched on, you didn't say them directly, but this morning what I want to do is I want to give you four more reasons. Four more things to be thankful. Now, that I could come up with a lot more, probably close to 10,000. All right, but four, I want to add four things to your Thanksgiving list. And the reason I chose these particular four is because they are directly contrasted to the world in Scripture. These four items are directly contrasted to what the world has, okay? And they're contrasted in Scripture. Four more things to be thankful for. And although the world may be thankful for a form of these that I'm going to give you, we as God's children more so. These are mind-blowing things, okay? Our blessings from God are better. In fact, Richard read the Psalm 84, the last part of it, where the psalmist says, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in You." And using this passage as our launching point this morning, again, I want to look at four New Testament passages that describe our better blessings. Blessings that the world, actually, they have access to. But for us, these things are better. They are better. What we will find in this passage are better blessings. That's my subject this morning here. They may not be things that we commonly give thanks for, but that's why I guess I'm adding them to our list here this morning. Our Thanksgiving list. Here's the first one. The first is wisdom, specifically infallible wisdom. This is something that you and I, as a child of God, have access to. The God of the universe to receive not only wisdom, but infallible wisdom. The answer to every issue. I took a trigonometry class in high school. And early on in the class, I was doing my homework one night, and it was a handful of problems right from in the textbook, and I don't remember how I discovered it, okay? But I learned that night that in the back of the textbook was the answer to every single problem in the textbook. And I thought, this is, what, did I get the wrong book? I thought this was fantastic. So I quickly wrote down the answers to the problems I had, and I was done with my homework. And I remember the next day on the bus telling my friend, you won't believe it. I'm taking trigonometry, and I got my textbook, and in the back of the book is every single answer. And he's like, no, it can't be. You've made a mistake. Something's wrong. You've missed something. It can't be that easy. That's the way the world looks at salvation. That is exactly the way the world looks at salvation. We can tell them, we can show them even, right from God's word, the answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Saved from your sin. And they say, no. You've made a mistake here. It can't be that easy. There's got to be more to it than that. Well, that right there is the wisdom of the world. That is how the world thinks. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we find this contrast between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. In 1 Corinthians 1:19-21, it says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." It is that easy. That simple, I should say. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You see, worldly wisdom, really all it is foolishness. They think, and when I say they, I think we used to be that way. We used to think, they think they're so smart. They think they have everything figured out. They think they know it all. But in reality, God says, they know nothing. They know nothing. They complicate everything, even the afterlife. In fact, Romans 1 says, professing to be wise, they became fools. Godly wisdom is salvation. Because we can't, you and I, we know this, we can't be good enough to earn our place in the presence of God, to earn salvation, to earn eternal life. It has to be God doing it for us. It has to be. He gave us the answer. His only Son came and paid the price for our sin and offers salvation as a free gift through faith in Him. Godly wisdom is salvation, but it's also light. In fact, Ecclesiastes 2:13 says, "Then I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness." And King Solomon is talking about godly wisdom here. Now, for those of you who have taken a trigonometry class, you know why the answers are in the back of the book. Perhaps you do. It's because the class is not just about the answers. It's about the process of getting to the answers. And the book, the textbook, actually shows us that process as well. My homework came back with big red letters on it saying, "I need to see your work." Well, God gives us that wisdom as well. While salvation is that simple, Living it out in our lives is a learning process. And this book, the Word of God, shows us exactly how to do that. And it's never wrong. It's never wrong. God's wisdom gives us the answers to all of the issues of life. This is, as it has been put, a textbook for life. And here is the best part. Here is the best part. We don't even have to figure it out all on our own. We can ask a teacher. That Holy Spirit indwelling in us, all right? He will give us infallible answers. What is that seemingly impossible thing that you are facing right now? This week, what is that seemingly impossible thing that you are facing? Have you gone to God about it? Have you asked Him for wisdom in this situation? What is that seemingly small, oh, I can handle this kind of thing that you are facing right now? Ask God about that too. For He gives infallible wisdom, and those small decisions that we exclude God from right now can become big issues later. You have the God of the universe who wants to guide you through your life. And in James 1:5, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. That's our God. In John 14:14, Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's our God. The fact of the matter is, you and I, we can't do it without Him. In fact, He doesn't even want us to try. That is where godly wisdom is so contrasted to worldly wisdom. That is why this blessing of infallible wisdom is so much better than the wisdom of the world. In John 15:5, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. His guidance will never steer you wrong. It didn't concerning salvation, and it won't in anything. And in that 1 Corinthians chapter 1 passage, the passage ends in verse 31 saying, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. In other words, give thanks. Thank Him for that. And if you have... if you have not utilized what God is offering you in the way of infallible wisdom with whatever you're facing right now, seek Him out. Ask Him. Thank God that you have this infallible wisdom that you can utilize. Thank God for His infallible wisdom. Have you given Him glory for it? If not, add it to your Thanksgiving list. Infallible wisdom. The answer to every single issue of life is right there for your asking. Here's the second thing to add to your list. Freedom. Innocent freedom. And I'll explain that. Innocent freedom. We talk a lot about freedom in this country to the degree that we almost worship it. However, most people have a skewed understanding of what real freedom is. Innocent freedom. Most people think that freedom means I can do whatever I want and nobody should be able to stop me. That's what a lot of people think freedom is. Well, what that is really is lawlessness. And lawlessness leads to captivity. If we break a law in our country, we could go to jail, all right? captivity. But let me explain it this way. Let's say that I believe I have the freedom to eat only Twinkies for every meal. For the rest of my life. Okay? I have the freedom to do that, I say. In fact, that's not even against the law. But really, that's not freedom. That's not freedom. You see, here's the thing. If I do that, if I eat only Twinkies for every single meal, starting now for the rest of my life, it will not be long before I am captive to my weight gain. There will be things all of a sudden that I can't do anymore. A little while later, and I could be shackled to a dialysis machine for several hours a day. And a little while more, I may be confined to a body-sized box 6 feet underground. All right, that's not freedom. In Romans chapter 6, it says this. Romans 6:16. And I've got a few passages here that I want to point out. But 6:16 says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness?" Now here's the contrast. Worldly freedom, the way the world often thinks about freedom, that tainted view of freedom. Worldly freedom is slavery to sin and its consequences. We may think we are free. You may think you are free to do whatever you want, to drink all of the alcohol you want, to take all the drugs you want, to eat all the Twinkies you want, to sin all of the sins that you want. But you are actually making yourself a slave to that sin. To the degree that in some cases, you may even come to a point in your life that you want to quit and you can't. You're captive to it. You're captive to it. Worldly freedom is slavery to sin. Godly freedom is slavery to righteousness. Now that is an odd way to describe freedom. As a slave, really? Well, we need to read on. Look now at verse 18, kind of doubles down on this, says, "And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." And then in verse 22 of Romans 6, it says, "But now having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of God. You have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life." I had a bad habit in my younger years living in Utah of not registering my vehicle with state tags on time. In fact, because Utah was very lenient, there were no late fees associated with or fines associated with a late registration. So I would go months and months without getting new stickers on my license plate, driving illegally. But here's the problem. I became paranoid. I'd be driving down the highway and all of a sudden my rearview mirror, I see a car coming up behind me and I think, is that a highway patrolman? And I would go faster so I could stay ahead of him. Or if I'm driving down through town and all of a sudden a police officer pulls in behind me, I'm like, I gotta get off the road. He's gonna see my tags and I'm gonna get a ticket, alright? The guilt was torture. It stole my freedom. Now, I don't do that anymore. All right, I don't do that anymore. And I'm not paranoid anymore because there is no more guilt. I don't even care if a police officer comes up behind my vehicle. Okay, that right there, that is freedom. That is innocent freedom. No guilt. No worries. Get this. If I'm driving down the interstate Speed limit's 80 miles an hour. I'm doing 80 miles an hour, and I come upon a cluster of vehicles doing 75, and I discover there's a police officer at the top of the pack. Right? Nobody dares pass him. You've seen that, right? Okay? Cluster exists because nobody dares pass the police officer. Well, I'm doing 80. That's the speed limit. I'm not breaking it. I will, with complete confidence, blow right past that cluster and the police officer. That right there is innocent freedom. I've got nothing to worry about because I'm being a slave obedient to righteousness. And I think to myself, they must all have expired tags. Godly freedom is slavery to righteousness. It is us living in accord with the truth of God's word. And when do we do? We have freedom. We have freedom. Innocent freedom, guilt-free. You see, the truth gives freedom. In John 8:32, Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." The truth is also a shield. You know, if we tell a lie, we must constantly be on guard to remember that lie so that we can affirm that lie if we ever get questioned about that lie. Well, if we tell the truth, it's like a shield, protection. We don't have to remember anything except what really happened. Psalm 91:4 says, "He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." In Romans 6:17, But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, freed. Thank God. Thank God for the guilt-free lives that we are able to live because of the truth of His Word, the freedom that we have. That's something that you and I have that the world doesn't. It's a better blessing. Add it to your list. These last two that I've got for you are very brief. Here's the third item to add to your Thanksgiving list: internal and everlasting peace. Internal and everlasting peace. Jesus said this to his followers in John 14:27 and John 16:33. And I can't remember what I gave the guys in the sound booth, but here they are. There's Jesus speaking. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And then in John 16:33, he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That's the peace that God offers to you. That is the peace that we can be thankful for. The Society of International Law in London states that during the last 4,000 years, there have only been 268 years of so-called peace. 268 years out of 4,000. That's what they estimated. Here's something else they said. There have been over, and this is in the past 4,000 years that they're aware of, okay? There have been over 8,000 peace treaties that have been made and broken. And in only the past 300 years, there have been 286 wars on the continent of Europe alone. Of late, peace has been the earnest desire of many. Peace in the Middle East, peace between Russia and Ukraine, peace in our own country. Here's the thing about worldly peace. It doesn't last. In fact, it's not really peaceful at all. That is the world. It's external. The peace of the world is external and temporary. It doesn't last, and it actually it isn't even real peace, because people are sinners, and sinners are prideful, hateful, and malicious. Godly peace, it's internal. It's not about what's going on around us. Godly peace is internal and everlasting. Because we know, you and I, we know who wins the war of the world. We know that it doesn't depend upon us. Jesus removed the enmity between us and God, and because of Him, we are now seen as God's friends forever. And because of Jesus, regardless of how terrible things are in our world, you and I, we're safe. We're safe. And that brings us internal and everlasting peace. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together to good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." You see, peace really is directly linked to grace. The peace that you and I have, it's undeserved. We have it only because of what Jesus has done and what He supplies. In fact, 18 times in the New Testament, peace is directly linked to grace, because it doesn't depend on us. All we need to do is rest in God. Have you ever just taken a deep breath and sighed? A thanksgiving sigh for God. Thank you. The world doesn't have that, but you do. It's a better blessing. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Thank God. You're going to watch the news this week. I know you will. When you do, thank God for the internal and everlasting peace that He has given us, offers us through Jesus Christ. Thank God for the peace He provides. Lastly, is inexpressible and full joy. Inexpressible and full joy. John 15:11, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." And He says that in contrast to what's going on in the world. You see, worldly joy is empty, okay? In fact, the world considers happiness to be synonymous with joy. That's often how they look at it anyway. But that's not what joy is. Joy, again, is inside. And we, from our God, we have inexpressible and full joy. Godly joy is full. Everything is taken care of. Everything. We have eternal life. We have a textbook to live it out. We have all of the answers to help in our times of need. God does all of the work. We can be at peace as the world is falling apart around us because we know how it all ends. Get this, we win. We win. Celebrate. Rejoice. Tell your face about it. Tell everyone about it. In 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9, it says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." We win, guys. We win. Give God the glory for that joy. Add it to your list. Thank God for the true and full joy that he offers. Psalm 84, 10 through 12 again says, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in tents of wickedness." Why? Well, for the Lord God is a sun. His wisdom gives us light so that we can make our way through this world. Thank him for that. He's also a shield. The truth is a shield and it will make you free. There is no guilt and only freedom in walking in the truth. Thank God for that. The Lord will give grace. The peace that we can have in this life is only because of the grace of God. Thank God for that. He will also give glory. You can have inexpressible joy that is full of glory. Because this is your God. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Add these to your Thanksgiving list. Think about the things that we've talked about here this morning concerning what they are and what God is actually offering us. Utilize those things and thank God for them. For while the world thinks they have these things, only we as believers really do. And although the world may be thankful for a form of these things, we as God's children more so. Our blessings from God are better. Father, we do thank you for our time here this morning. Thank you for just these qualities that are actually part of your nature that you offer to us even in the midst of this corrupt world. And Lord, as we are coming up on a holiday here in our country dedicated to the giving of thanks, and as many in the world, in this country, will be doing that in some tainted form, Lord, because our blessings are better, may we in sincere gratitude give thanks to you for your infallible wisdom, for your innocent freedom, for your inexpressible and full joy, and even your internal and everlasting peace. We thank you for all these things because of Jesus. And we thank you for all these things in his name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Craig.